This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Access all areas with Lizzie Cundy and Stephen Leng on FUBAR Radio.
Stop you crying, it's a sign of the times. Welcome to the final show. I hope you're wearing your best clothes. You can't bribe the door on your way to the sky. You look pretty good down here, but you ain't really good.
Good evening, everyone. And that wasn't David Bowie. No.
Harry Styles.
That was Harry Styles. Welcome to Access All Areas with me, Stephen Lang, and Kate Randall today.
She's back.
So, yes, unfortunately, Lizzie can't be here today.
No, so you've got me instead.
So you've got the gorgeous Kate instead. How are you?
I am very well.
You had a big night. Was it last night?
Tuesday night. Went to see Bruno.
That sounded like it was pretty pretty impressive.
He was very, very good, actually. Great performer.
Really?
Yes. First half, his new hits, wasn't
so
sure.
Oh, yeah, didn't know them, yeah.
But as soon as he put Marry Me on, or Marry You.
Whatever it was.
Great, and then finish with Uptown Funk.
Oh,
the crowd went wild.
Oh, I bet they did. Two of my very small cousins went with my auntie.
Oh,
had a great time. Was it kind of a kiddie audience?
Well, it was a real mixture, Steve. There was little kids, and then there was
old ladies, like,
ladies like me bopping away.
But you're in a box.
I was in a box.
So
yes.
That's a nice treat, isn't it?
Oh, lovely.
Did you get some free booze?
Oh yeah, free booze, free food. So.
Gorge.
Yeah. That's the way to watch concerts. If you can do it.
It really is. Although we're not paying for it, are we?
No.
Absolutely not. Never. No.
No.
So welcome everyone to the show. We have, as ever, a packed show coming up. Our first guest, and now this one is quite controversial.
Mm.
How are you feeling about this?
Well, he's got a few opinions, hasn't he?
He does have a few opinions. It is Steve Brookstein. The first ever winner of X Factor.
Yeah.
Who is he mentored by? Sharon?
Simon. Yeah.
So he won the show back in 2004. Yeah.
Yes.
So he's kind of known now for his very controversial opinions on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Which he's been doing the last couple of days, actually, I've seen, to do with the general election.
Yes.
Fun times. So he's coming on at 6:30 on the phone. Then we also have at 7 o'clock the boxer Darren Barker. Now, you're a bit of a boxing fan, aren't you?
Well,
I've been just in boxing classes.
Yeah. It's very good for taking aggression out. And
yeah.
You've been a couple of times.
I have, yeah. I would go again.
Yeah.
And you were just saying that Prince Harry has taken up boxing.
Well, he was in the press this week because he suffered when his mum died and suffered from mental illnesses,
mm-hmm.
and was very angry and needed help, and he took up boxing. Wow. Get his anger out.
Is that so, why we've done it before?
Yeah, I've just taken the frustrations of the day out.
Every single day.
On the punch bag. Pum, pum, pum. But it's great. You do feel really good, don't you, after?
You do, I have to say. So we're going to find out a bit from him about his career, what he's up to, and how boxing can help your mental health.
Yes.
Yes, why not? And then finally we have Akin, the new hot man on Made in Chelsea. Very handsome.
He is very handsome. He's in the studio as well.
So we're going to get the chance to have a little chat with him at about 7:30. Hopefully he gets there on time, because sometimes they don't know where they're going, you know.
And he's got to come all the way from Chelsea.
Chelsea to North London. That is a nightmare, you know.
Rush hour traffic.
So it has been a news-tastic week this week, hasn't it?
It has.
So I would say, now this is not showbiz.
No.
But we have to talk about it, just briefly. There is going to be a general election.
Yay!
What are your thoughts?
What was that old lady's name in Bristol?
Brenda.
I agree with her when she just said, oh, not another one. I don't want another vote.
You can't be bothered?
Well, I feel that they make us vote all the time.
Has been three in 3 years.
Yeah.
Three years.
Yeah, and it just always seems to be about voting, and I think I've had enough. And I think the rest of the UK have had enough.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you.
But we've got to do it.
But we've got to turn up, guys. Got to vote. Such is the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun 6 or 7 weeks, isn't it? So,
June the 8th.
June the 8th.
It's actually my friend's 40th birthday.
Oh, what a nightmare. No one's going to want to talk about that, are they?
No.
So make sure you register to vote, everyone, because it's going to be a big one. Can't wait to see Theresa May win again.
Well, she hasn't won yet.
No, but you know what I mean. I've just got a feeling. Got a bad, bad feeling. But that's just me, you know? Who am I? But it hasn't just been about election news this week. There has been a lot of showbiz news going on.
There has.
Now, there is some things that I should probably artfully avoid.
Well, about a certain reality TV star.
About a certain reality TV star and her
boyfriend.
Now
not ex-boyfriend, or she's unfollowed him on Instagram, so.
Yes, and they're on the cover of a certain magazine. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There was an acid attack in a London nightclub, and this boyfriend of the reality star is now being sought after.
Yeah, he's now on the run. And please say, don't approach
do not approach him.
Him.
Because they also found things in his house. So anyway, so that's that we're going to artfully avoid this evening,
but
due to my main job.
Yes, and but there was also the Victoria Beckham. She got her OBE.
Hooray!
Yay! All hail Queen Vic.
What was it for?
Services to fashion and charity.
Right.
Which is what she was most pleased with, the charity one.
It's not making her any money, though, is it?
What, charity?
Yeah, charity work. Well, according to the things, fashion's not making her much money either, but...
No, but she's got a very rich husband to bail her out.
So was she given hers by the Queen?
No, Prince William.
Oh, Prince William. So they're friends already, because the Beckhams went to Kate and Wills' wedding, didn't they?
Yeah. But I always think if you're going to get a... OBE or CBE, whatever.
Whatever.
You want it from the Queen.
You really do, but she is 91.
And obviously there was that whole awkward David Beckham thing.
Yes.
So.
Do you think that was why he didn't... So afterwards they always have a photo call, don't they?
Yeah.
And Victoria was pictured on her own. And that's quite rare for Victoria at a public event.
Yeah, and she ticked no publicity.
Did she?
Yes, and where Jessica Ennis was there and happily posed.
What does that mean?
That you don't have to pose outside Buckingham Palace.
But she did.
Press. Yeah, but she only did it for herself. She didn't do it for the press.
And do you think that is because of the emails that leaked of David Beckham?
Yes.
What was in those emails again? Remind me.
Well, I don't know if I can say the words on...
You can swear.
I don't know if you can use the C word.
I mean, my nephew's listening, but you know.
Hi, Hugo. he said... He was very annoyed because he didn't get a knighthood, so he called the Honours Committee a bunch of ungrateful...
C words.
Yes.
Right. So he wanted a knighthood and was angry that he didn't get one.
Didn't get one.
So...
And, yeah. And I don't think he'll ever get one now.
And do you think that was why he wasn't pictured with her?
Yeah.
But they did go out afterwards, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. They went out with family and Mel C.
So obviously the Spice Girls are all like... Not exactly pally at the minute. It seems to be a little twosome. It's Mel C and Victoria versus Mel B, Jerry and Emma.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think Mel C and Victoria have just kind of decided that the Spice Girls happened 21 years ago.
Do you think also that neither of those... Like, Mel C's music career is still fairly successful.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not, like, getting number ones, but she can still sell out a venue, you know? So she doesn't really need the Spice Girls.
No, not at all.
And neither does Victoria, whereas the other three...
Well, yeah, they kind of... Yeah, they do need them.
They do.
Although I always thought Emma was friendly with Posh and Mel, but...
Yeah, it's a difficult
one, isn't
it?
Emma just kind of sits in the middle, doesn't she? She'll easily go between the two camps.
Yeah, true. Now, you're like a big, big Spice Girls fan. And you went to the reunion tour in 2007, is that right?
Yeah, probably one of the greatest days of my life.
Would you like to see it again?
Not with just the three of them.
Would you like to see it with the five of them?
Well, yeah, I would. I would definitely go, but I just don't know how sad it would be seeing those five singing "Wannabe."
Why do you think it would be? Why do you think it would be sad?
Because they were just young girls having fun, and now they're all like older women, married, kids. You just don't want to be in their gang anymore. You wanted to be a Spice Girl. You wanted to be in their gang.
That's true, and it's less about that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know that friendship does end.
Oh, that was their last song, wasn't it? Friendship Never Ends.
Yeah, Headlines.
Headlines, Friendship Never Ends, written by Jerry, I believe.
And it got to number 6, I think.
And it was, and wasn't it the Comic Relief single?
Oh.
I feel like
Children in Need.
Children in Need, maybe. And it was
the only
one that didn't get to number one ever.
Yeah.
So it kind of sums up how people feel about the Spice Girls these days. Best to get it over and done with, you feel?
Yeah, well, just leave it. They're not take that. They're not going to be able to.
Well, because they can't write their own songs. As good as Jerry is. As good as Jerry is as a performer.
But, you know, she's now focusing on her new baking career and...
Oh, yeah, motherhood. She's got two
motherhood,
kids.
Motherhood, she's got two kids.
Shall we listen to a bit of Spice Girls?
Yeah, let's listen.
Get us riled up for the show ahead. Spice up your life.
Oh, yeah, great.
Radio presents
The Hannah Whitten Show.
Callum McSwiggan.
Hi.
Kink.
Yes.
What about you?
Personal experiences. If we're talking about the BDSM world, I feel like on the vanilla to extreme scale, the 10 would be the extreme.
Okay.
And I want to go like 9.5. I really, really do.
Wow.
But yeah, but I do think the cute aggression is part of it. Because, you know, I like really feminine guys and, you
crushing
know,
them.
And it's kind of like looking
squeezing
at the
them.
Puppy and going, oh, look at the little puppy. I just want to like smush his little face, but with a human male.
And a whip.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Whitten Show.
From 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance. I met her on Grafton Street, right side of the bar. She shared a cigarette with me while her brother played the guitar. She asked me, what does it mean? The Gaelic ink on your arm. Said it was one of my friend's songs. Do you wanna drink on? She took Jamie as a chaser, Jack for the fun. She got Arthur on the table with Johnny riding a shotgun. Chatted some more, one more drink at the bar. Then put Van on the jukebox, got up to dance. You know she played her fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance with my pretty little Galway girl. You're my pretty little Galway girl. Hey. You know she beat me at darts and then she beat me at pool. And then she kissed me like there was nobody else in the room. As last orders were called was when she stood on the stool. After dancing to Kaylee, singing to trad tunes. I never heard Carrick Fergus ever sung so sweet. Acapella in the bar, using her feet for a beat. Oh, I could have that voice playing on repeat for a week. And in this packed out room, swear she was singing to me. You know she played her fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance, my pretty little girl. Closing time, I was holding her hand was holding mine. Our coats both smell of smoke, whiskey and wine. As we fill up her lungs with the cold air of the night. I walked her home, then she took me inside to finish some Doritos and another bottle of wine. I swear I'm gonna put you in a song that I write about a Galway girl and a perfect night. She played the fiddle in an Irish band, but she fell in love with an Englishman. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hands. And baby, I just wanna dance, my pretty little Galway girl.
Hugo, that's for my nephew. He is a big fan of that song. Sounds like Bewitched to me.
Well, yeah. Have you seen that mix-up on it?
No.
Mash-up, whatever it's called.
Whatever the kids are calling it.
The kids are getting down with these days. No, they've done a Galway girl with Bewitched.
Oh, really? Well, it totally works. I can see that.
It's for our friend Colette as well. She's from Galway.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, Colette. Did you hear about his tattoo this week?
What, the man that got it wrong?
Saoirse Ronan, the very famous Irish actress, is in the video for Galway Girl.
Right.
And to celebrate the video, he got a tattoo of Galway Girl on him, like the words.
Yeah.
And he got her to do it. But she apparently on purpose wrote Galway Grill. Which I'm sure is a lovely kebab house.
A lovely restaurant. Oh, yeah. Good chicken sheesh.
Yeah, lovely chicken sheesh at the Galway Grill.
Yeah.
But why would you do that, though? That's what I wonder.
For the lols?
For the lols, maybe. I think I'd be pretty angry if someone tried to lol
But have you seen some of his tattoos? I imagine he didn't really care.
That lion he's got on him.
Well, he's just got a lot of colour on him, hasn't he?
Well, I mean, he's not got much colour anywhere else other than his hair. So I think that's probably a good thing for him, right?
Yeah.
And he seems to be like, I mean, I'm not the biggest Ed Sheeran fan. It's not really my vibe. I get that he's good, but it's just not something I would like listen to, you know? And he's going to be in Game of Thrones.
Yes. He is.
And apparently he's going to have a sex scene in Game of Thrones.
Oh, I don't want to think about that.
You seem legit shocked by that.
I am quite shocked by that.
I mean, he's had some girlfriends. He's obviously got a very hot girlfriend now. Isn't she a Victoria's Secret model?
Yeah, I wonder why she's going out with him.
With multi-millionaire.
Although a lot of my friends do fancy Ed.
Do you?
Oh, God, no.
Why?
I just don't fancy him. He's not my type at all.
Right, okay. I get that he's probably quite funny, though.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, funny kind of trumps everything for me.
Yeah, it does.
Within reason.
You've still got to fancy them, though, haven't you?
True. That's very true.
You can have the funniest person in the whole wide world, but if they're really ugly and you don't fancy them, it's
a no-go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true, I suppose.
I think it works if they're kind of attractive.
Really ugly. Some people might think I'm ugly.
You're not ugly.
Thanks.
All right, return the compliment, Steve.
Yeah, and anyway, moving on. No, you know what I mean, though? It's I get why people would fancy Ed Sheeran.
Oh, yeah, I can understand it.
Because he's got a lot of money. So.
But also, I think if you're playing, like, Wembley or something, there's something quite sexy about someone that can sing and...
command a crowd. Yes. And yeah, and play an instrument. It's very sexy. Yeah.
A lot of people fancy Bruno after...
And he is four foot two.
He is teeny tiny, like tiny.
There is something oddly sexy about Bruno Mars, and I think that's because he can dance.
Yeah. Well, my friend went and her mum went to see him in Vegas, and her mum fancied him after.
Does he perform in Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I can't remember what hotel they were at, but
oh, interesting.
Yeah, they went last month.
There was some bad news for Britney fans this week. Did
Vegas
you hear?
Has been cancelled.
Well, not cancelled. Well, I mean, she's performing until Christmas.
Well, right, I just like to drop.
Amp up the drama, babes. Yeah, so that'll be at the end of Britney. And I'm a bit sad because when I went to Vegas last year, just before I started the show, actually, I went to see Jennifer Lopez in the same hotel that Britney performs at. They perform at the same hotel, like on alternate weeks. And Jennifer Lopez was incredible. Can't deny she's got some absolute bangers in her back catalogue. But I would have liked to have seen Britney.
It's Britney, isn't it?
It's Britney, yeah, bitch.
Right. Yeah. But apparently she might be coming to London.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I read in one of the papers today.
What were they saying? Oh, the show. Her big show.
Yeah, her big show might be coming to London. She did something at the Roundhouse last October.
The iTunes Festival, yeah. I think. Yeah. That's interesting.
If she was at the O2...
How much would you pay for a ticket?
Well, probably nothing, because I'd see if I can get in a box.
See if you can get a connection to get you in a box, yeah. I understand.
No, I'd probably pay £50.
50 British pounds? I'd probably pay £25 I'd pay for Britney Spears. I don't buy concert tickets anymore. They're too expensive.
So expensive. Ridiculous.
You can go to Glastonbury for like £270 or you can pay to see Britney for £150.
My sister's going to Bruno on Saturday. And do you know how much they paid for two tickets?
Go on.
£300.
I mean, I nearly spat my wine out. That is disgraceful.
Yeah, and they're not even on the floor.
Jesus Christ. I mean, honestly, I saw Madonna... And this is, I'm not even joking, we got very cheap tickets, me and my housemate June, to go see the Madonna on the Hard Candy Tour. And we were the very back row at the very top. And I had vertigo and couldn't stand up the whole way through.
I was up there for steps.
Steps?
Yeah.
You were at the back row for steps.
Well, I paid for tickets then, but I had a great night. Great night.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Madonna was good, but I mean, she was the size of my little fingernail, you know, that small.
When I went,
and she came out at the wrong time and then said the wrong city. I mean, she's, you know, she's all over the place at the minute, but you know.
A bit old, isn't
she? Oh, Kate! Oh, she's only 57.
Well, you know.
It's all that Botox, isn't it?
Yeah, but no, concert tickets are ridiculous. I remember the days you could pay, I paid £16.50 for an Eternal ticket.
Did you?
Yeah.
I paid £32.50 to see Britney, which was my first ever concert at the Onyx Hotel tour when I was 16.
Oh, I always thought it was the Onyx Hotel.
Onyx? Onyx? That's not even a
That's
word.
How I said it. Raised
oh, of course
the
you have. You and your pronunciations, Kate, honest to God. You do have a problem. I was going to say schizophrenic, but that's not the word.
No, it's just a pronunciation problem.
Yeah, no, the Onyx Hotel.
The Onyx Hotel.
Anyway, so hopefully we'll be seeing Britney, I guess, when she comes to London, if this story is true. I'd be up for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well up for it. Okay, cool. So should we play another track and then should we see if we can get our first guest on the phone? Bit of Steve Brookstein coming your way on the phone. I'm not going to play his song yet. Yeah?
Yeah.
I've been hearing symphonies before all I heard was silence. A rhapsody for you and me, and every melody is timeless. Life was stringing me along, then you came and you cut me loose. Was solo singing on my own. Now I can't find a key without you, and now your song is a repeat, and I'm dancing on to your heartbeat. And when you're gone, I'm feeling complete. So if you want the truth, I just wanna be part of your symphony.
Calling that a song of the summer.
Are you?
Clean Bandit and Symphony, yeah.
Okay.
Not feeling it?
Oh, no, I like it. I just...
surprised by that, Kate.
If I'd say song of the summer just yet, but you heard it here first.
You heard it here on Fubar Radio first. We've got our first guest of the evening on the line. Steve Brookstein, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, how
Hello.
Are you?
Hello.
Hello there. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I love that song. That's great.
It's good, isn't it?
Do you think it's a song? Yeah,
I think that could be the song. Oh, I think so. Oh, it's wicked tune.
Yay! Yeah. See, that's
I'm
good.
I'm definitely feeling that.
I'm not the only one thinking that. Kate,
no, I think it's good.
Kate here is disagreeing with me.
I'm not disagreeing. I don't like to make rash decisions.
So how have you been, Steve? What's going on?
Oh, I'm good. Just what's going on? It's same old, really. I think
causing a stir.
No. I'm just, you know, with the kids and stuff. A bit of a family man now, so singing to, you know, pay the bills, and that's about it. So I don't really I'm not making any major moves in the charts or anything like that. So I'm just, off gigging and working hard enjoying the family stuff, really.
It's a really odd situation, isn't it? Because obviously, for you, X Factor is it is such a long time ago. Yeah. Not just for you, that the first series was such a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But we might not be speaking if it wasn't for that. But your relationship with the show is contentious.
Not great.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a funny one because it's a little bit like sliding doors. I look back at the things I was doing before that. It's really funny. Well, it's not funny, it's coincidence. Yeah, the 20 years ago, you know, Diana died. Mm-hmm. And I'd just done a talent show, funny enough, on ITV called The Big, Big Talent Show.
Right.
And
oh, yes.
off the back of that, I was run up to a girl that ended up doing some great stuff in the West End, Lydia Griffiths. And with that show, I met a few top producers in the Veen who did a lot of the Take That stuff. And I also got a couple of support situations, like offered Lionel Richie and Dion Warwick. And you never
good.
Know where that would have ended up taking me if I hadn't have gone on The X Factor.
Right.
It might have been a slower route. Like, you know, I'm not saying I would have been Ed Sheeran, but Ed Sheeran's got nothing out of Fame Academy, but then goes off to do fantastic things, you know. So
wait a second. Ed Sheeran was on Fame Academy?
Yeah.
Was he?
How? Yeah. He did Fame Academy, so...
I have no recollection of that, and I remember watching it.
Nobody remembers Fame Academy.
No. So,
to be fair,
you know,
yeah.
So I think you just don't know what would have happened.
That's true.
I think that, if anything, winning, it's been an albatross, and it's caused me a lot of problems for falling out with Simon.
Mm.
If I've got one regret in life, I think falling out of him with Simon was probably the big mistake I made, you know, because he had Max Clifford, who was extremely powerful and influential in the media. But apart from that, you know, I enjoyed the show. It was a lot of fun, but it wasn't bit to be, I guess. But there you go.
Yeah.
When was the last time you spoke to Simon?
Oh, blimey. I think I've actually probably heard that question more times than I've actually ever spoken to Simon. I didn't speak to Simon... I think last time I spoke to Simon was probably 2005. I mean, he's spoken about me a few times.
Yeah,
but
he has.
Terrible I am. Which is funny. But, you know, I don't think he gives a monkey's what I say. And I don't really, you know,
yeah.
It is what it is. He's made his billions, so he's happy.
Do you feel like you've moved on from it?
It's a funny one because anyone that's read my book will know what the situation really was, and you can't really move away from that because it's a lot darker, a lot more sinister and nasty than what people actually really are aware of. There's a few dark forces at play that people know about. And,
oh, this is very Princess Diana in there.
Well, it isn't nice, but it is what it is, and I don't really talk about it on radio stations because it's the sort of thing you put in a book because it takes a long time to digest it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
A radio, you know, it's brief, we keep it light, you know?
Yeah, I get
so
that.
So I don't really, it is what it is. But have I moved on? From the show, yeah, it kind of bugs me when it comes on every year, but thankfully...
It bugs
good
a lot
side.
Of people.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. Every year, I it's back again. But every year, it's a few, you know, fewer viewers and so forth, but... You know, you've got to, I mean, it is a vehicle for a lot of good talent. I mean, James Arthur is a great talent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been some really Little Mix are fantastic. So it has produced some brilliant artists. So, you know, I do knock it from a personal position with it, but it has done some good things.
Interesting.
Which I can, you know, accept now.
Yeah.
Have you ever been offered any other reality shows since?
No.
You've been offered nothing? No,
I don't. See, that's the thing. Well, the thing is, it's like, when I fell out with Simon, all the doors closed. You know, it's really a case of, no, we don't want you on Big Brother. We don't want you on this. We want you to go away. So I kind of, it took me a while to get out my head around that, you know, because I remember.
That's quite hard, surely, for just like your mental health, to have people shutting doors on you and telling you no. Was that quite tough?
Yeah. It was. But I find it all really fascinating. I can take myself out of myself. But, you know, if I actually thought I am actually Steve Brookstein, the people they slag off all the time, and, you know, in the newspaper, and he's this and he's nasty and all that, you would go nuts. But I kind of can just, you know, I don't see it as me, and I just find it a fascinating situation to be in.
You disassociate yourself.
I kind of, as a person, found it difficult, but a challenge, in as much as, wow, how do I grow? How do I make myself a better person?
Yeah,
I'm a better father because of it. I've become a lot more tolerant. I've actually got fewer anger issues than I had probably 10 years ago,
right,
because of it, because I've had to think about, there's other people in a lot worse situations than, you know, falling out with Simon Cowell.
Well, that's not untrue. Yes, I would agree.
Yeah.
But then you say that, but I look over your Twitter.
Yes, you're quite controversial on Twitter.
And there's a Katie Hopkins element going on there.
Yeah. But, you know, that's really funny, because my Twitter, I kind of say things. I don't mean to be controversial. I just like...
Now, come on, Steve.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I don't mean to be. I just say things in a way that I kind of find it interesting to discuss. But, I mean, whether it be politics, I know you shouldn't talk politics, but I don't hate the Tories. I mean, if you read my Twitter, you think I absolutely loathe the Tories. But I'm not a Tory, but I used to be one when I was in my teens and growing up and under Maggie Thatcher.
That's unusual for a teenager.
I was the kid in the class that would be arguing for why we need to get rid of the, you know, British Telecom at the time. That was being privatised when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I kind of, it's only Twitter. It's nothing too serious, I don't think.
But do you tweet before you think sometimes?
No. I actually think quite hard about what I say, and nothing's said without there is. You know, I know what I kind of hope I know what I'm talking about. I'll happily debate things with people, but, you know, I just put it out there, and if people want to digest it and take it in, there's a lot of good things. I think as a society, I think we should discuss many things. I don't think I should only be talking about music, because I don't know everything about music. I know very little.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should think about things that involve us all, and society and National Health Service, and who's going to, you know, who we should be electing. It's a conversation we should have. Brexit is a conversation we should all... It's not. Shouldn't be for the political elite, you know. That's how I feel, but...
So
whether
you,
I'm right or wrong, I don't know.
Who will you be voting for? Have you made that decision?
Well, my local MP is Labour. She's been fantastic, Siobhan McDonough. And, you know, I'm not... In terms of Jeremy Corbyn, I think he seems like a nice guy. I don't know whether... Not he would be good for the country. I don't think he will win, but that, you know, that's, you know, I don't know. You know,
we'll find out.
I was a Remainer. You know, I don't mind saying that. But
yeah.
Now we've gone for Brexit. You know, I kind of think, well, okay, well, we kind of got to go with it. However, if it turns out that it's a mistake, I think we should have the chance to kind of say, hey guys, I think we've boo booed here, because, you know, Jeremy, who's the big podgy fella? Boris Johnson. You know, he's no longer part of it. You haven't got the other guy who tried to take his job. Michael Gove. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, and David Cameron's left, and George Osborne's left. So all the faces that told us about Brexit, and
they've all buggered off.
They've all gone.
So I kind of think to myself, I'm not sure. It's worrying, but it'll sort itself out.
We should have an X Factor style vote on it.
Yeah. Well, there's some thinking.
No. Yeah, we have a judging panel.
Do you regret winning now? Do you think you could have gone back into obscurity if you would have come second or third? Or
I think I would have been. I sometimes say, yeah, I wish I'd won it. I wish, you know, because it has been difficult and dealing with certain issues with, sadly, with the press, with people lying about what sort of person you are. I think, yeah, in a way, I do regret it. But then equally, I look at my personal life and the bonds that I have with my wife and my kids, and I think, would I have grown to be the sort of gentleman and father that I am if I hadn't gone through that adversity? So I kind of think I'm much happier knowing that I'm going to be married for my life, and I'm happily married, you know.
Sounds pretty nice.
It's really a difficult one to kind of...
Well, I have to say, Steve, from reading how you've been on Twitter and the things you've been saying recently to how you are on the phone right now, I feel like it's two different people.
Yes.
I'm a Scorpio. That's the thing is with Scorpio.
Me too.
Steve Scorpios.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, we don't like to show exactly what we're really about. I mean, you know, listen, I was brought up listening to Luther Vandross, Al Green, and all romantic love songs, George Benson, Lionel Richie. So you don't go from that to Katie Hopkins, you know. And you don't. I'm a bit of a romantic, you know. So I am.
So you're not trying to rebrand yourself as some kind of right wing.
No, I'm not. I've become more of a socialist. However, unlike, you know, this is what I do worry about. Is that I do worry that, you know, the left of our society don't appreciate what the people, the entrepreneurs do for the country. You know, we need people that want to make money, that want to build a business, and we've got to give them incentives. In the same way you've got to give working people a minimum wage to give them incentives, we've got to give these entrepreneurs an incentive. And I don't think Jeremy Corbyn's really connecting with those people. I don't think, but what do I know?
Interesting. What do any of us know?
No.
Are you still in touch with anyone? I know you probably get that that question all the time.
I try to. I haven't. Do you know what? We got a bond where, you know, I could easily ring up a few of them that I haven't spoken to for, you know, probably 6 months, maybe a year.
G4?
I don't really. You know what? I haven't really kept in touch with G4. They're really nice guys. I mean, I do like G4. I liked all of them. I mean, I didn't get on with... Common knowledge, I didn't get on with Roberta.
Roberta!
Yeah,
Tabby,
yeah.
There was Tabby as well. I liked Tabby.
Tabby's a great guy. He's still doing his music and he's fantastic. There's Cassie Compton. She's brilliant and she's doing really well. And
Two to go.
Emma's got married and she's got kids and she's wonderful. Peter's, you know, got his partner and he's brilliant, and I get in touch with them on Facebook and see what they're up to. But you know, there's and Voices with Soul, they were great. I see Voices with Soul on Big Brother now and again. I've been sitting there watching it. I watch it religiously, but now and again. I turn it on, and there they are on the
still
show,
going.
The audience. Still in the
still
audience.
Got voices, still about. Got soul.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember that because Rylan was really obsessed with them, I think, and so that's why they get to go on to Big Brother.
Yeah, that's funny what it is.
So what are you doing? Are you kind of turning your back on music? What's the vibe now? I mean...
No, I've got a show, funny enough, it'll sound terrible because I know how... I remember doing a... I did a gig. I don't want to talk about it. It's tough, but I'm doing a place where I used to do. It's called the East Ham Social. So the word social club sounds terrible, but upstairs at the East Ham Social Club, they've got a function room, which is a big room.
Right.
And I've got my soul band. We're doing a gig in June there, and it should be good. We're playing some new stuff, and they've got a real big soul vibe down there. They've had Kenny Thomas, Alexander O'Neill and all that sort of thing, and it's a good space, and the acoustics are great, and so I'm just trying out my new soul band that I'm putting together.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's a lot of retro stuff, Northern Soul and A bit of Motown feel and a few originals, but mainly it's we're just taking it back, you know.
Sounds really good. I have to say, Steve, I was not expecting the conversation to be this pleasant. I'm not going to lie. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Do you know what people generally are? I'm actually not that bad at bloke. I must admit, some of the things I say on Twitter does look bad, and my missus does tell me off. She says, delete that, you're the bluffing idiot. And I think, no, I've said it now, I'm not taking it back. I see that.
It's nice to hear that things are good. You're not as angry as you seem.
You're a happy man.
I try.
Would you mind if we play Against All Odds now?
No, you know what? I've got no problem with it. It's a really good recording. Also,
really
I didn't realise because two of the recordings that I get most requests for on that particular album was Against All Odds and Dancing with My Father, which I'd recorded.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd play my version. I'm not saying it, but it's wicked.
we'll have to see if we can dig out the archive.
Yeah, you can. It was produced by Steve Mack, who he's doing, funny enough, Ed Sheeran's new album, and he's brilliant. So the production on it is fantastic. He made me sound good.
So where can anyone find you if they're looking for you on social media? You're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter. My Twitter's a bit rubbish, as you say. I do talk a load of nonsense. But I'd say his best bet is to just check out my music at stevebrookstone.com because I've got a great album which is called Forgotten Man. It's not a reference to my career. It's actually a reference to a song by David Ruffin.
Okay.
He did a song called The Forgotten Man, and it's all about the album's paying homage to people like David Ruffin, Felipe Wynn from the Detroit Spinners, Wooden Spinners, and some other great soul artists from the past that we no longer hear about.
Okay, cool. Well, make sure to check it out, everyone. And thank you so much for speaking to us this evening, Steve.
My pleasure, both of you.
It's been really good. Enjoy the summer, and I hope the gig goes well.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath with you, ooh, you're the only one who really knew me at all. How can you just walk away from me when all I can do is watch you leave? 'Cause we share the laughter and the pain, and even shed the tears. You're the only one who really knew me at all. So take a look at me now. Well, there's just an empty space, and there's nothing left here to remind me, just the memory of your face. I'll take a look at me now. Well, there's just an empty space.
bag of memories, isn't
oh,
it?
Yeah.
The old days of X Factor.
Oh. What? They were brilliant.
Talking about Two to Go and...
Oh, Two to Go.
What was on Flare East was in?
Oh.
Addictive Ladies.
Addictive Ladies.
Yeah. So she was on the first series of X Factor.
And then she came back and came second.
As a solo artist.
Yeah. What's happened to Flare East?
Recording new material.
Oh, right.
When I was in America, I saw her on an American chat show where it was a morning show, and she was tasked with bringing out two glasses of wine to the presenters. About 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, I'd like to work on that show.
You got a glass of wine now. What are you complaining about?
Well, no, but it's the evening, isn't it? I can't...
quite like a little breakfast wine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, when I get into work every morning, if there's a glass of wine for me. Lovely.
Brought to you by Fleur East as well. What a treat.
Living the dream.
Now, I don't know if you've seen the pictures this week of Vicky Paterson. Now, she is a friend of the show. Me and her used to be, you know, Twitter friends.
Yeah. Used to be.
I mean, we're still following one another, but, you know, we're not chatting on a regular basis.
Yeah. DM it.
Maybe
anymore.
The odd DM. And there were some pictures this week. Obviously, when she went into I'm a Celebrity, before she went into I'm a Celebrity in 2015, she lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
She looked really good. Mm-hmm. And there was no really real denying that. She looked great. Very good. And in the last kind of year and a half, she's very slowly put that weight back on, it seems. And this week there were some pictures of her doing some exercise in the park, and people were like quite vicious about the fact that she'd put on weight, and that she wasn't looking her best, but she was still promoting her brands and blah blah blah. What do you make of that, and do you think it's fair?
Well, I kind of think it's fair if you've made money
right.
from losing weight and exercising. And also, I think what people get upset about is pictures on Instagram and social media are different to what they look like in real life.
Yes.
I think that's where people get upset, because you're not seeing the real person. But obviously, when you're working out, you're not going to look your best. And when they're pat pictures, you're not going to look your best. And you are going to choose flashing pictures of you when you put them on social media.
Yeah,
we all do it.
That's a fact. Like, right? That's just standard.
How many times do we take a picture of ourselves and be like, oh,
can we take another?
Yeah, I'm going to put a good filter on that one. It's normal now.
So you think that Vicky Paterson is just one of those people, and obviously she's probably signed up to these gigs, you know, to promote a brand.
Yeah.
And then she's got to carry it on.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one, because everyone, it's her body, isn't it? She can do what she likes with it, but people do look up to her, and they want to know how to look like her. So they want to believe in it, and they want to believe in the brand. And
do you think that they still will? Because obviously her weight loss DVD was like one of the fastest selling of all time until Charlotte Crosby's came out. So do you think people still will follow her for that if they see that she's not looking her best?
I don't know. Maybe people might feel that she is more like them, because if you're being good, you lose weight, and then she just had a bad few weeks to put weight back on.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's what makes her a bit more human and
a bit more relatable.
Yeah. Because we all do it, don't we? We all diet for something.
But it seems to have been the culmination of a couple of bad weeks for her, though, doesn't it? I think there's rumours that she's lost a job as the I'm a Celebrity host.
Scarlett's going to take over.
To Scarlett Moffat.
Don't know how Scarlett's going to fit that in with the 500,000 other jobs that she's...
But on top of that, she also didn't get Blind Date. And then there was that story that Paul O'Grady basically took the job.
Because he didn't want her doing it. Well, a reality star doing it.
Yeah. So it feels like people aren't being very nice to Vicky Paterson at the minute.
No. Whenever I've met her, I've always really liked her.
Yeah. She's always very
friendly and very chatty. But
yeah, I like her too.
I don't know.
How do you win it back round?
People are fickle.
It's the same things happened to Lauren Goodger and Charlotte Crosby in a way.
Yeah, I don't think Lauren and Charlotte have helped with the people they're going out with.
Yeah, Stephen Bear is, I would not put him up there. You know.
And then Lauren's, actually I probably don't want to say anything because I might come round.
Yeah, there's other thing people involved. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? These girls that have come from reality shows seem to struggle sometimes with
And I think people don't like girls that have made it from reality shows because they feel they haven't got any talent.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
I actually don't really feel like that about Vicky. I feel like she does have some kind of presenting talent.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was best placed on Extra Camp, but she was. I actually think she was a very good Loose Woman.
Yeah, I liked her on Loose Women.
And she kind of provided a new angle that the show didn't have.
Made it a bit younger.
Bit younger, yeah.
And someone that's just not married with kids.
And it was quite interesting to hear her take at the same time as someone like Gloria Hunniford, you know, and Ruth Langsford and Colleen Nolan. I think that was a bit of a mistake on Loose Women's part to get rid of her.
Yeah, because they have completely different lives. She's probably the only one who is single. Well, she's got a boyfriend at the moment, but is single without kids.
There's some young ones on there, like Stacey Solomon, aren't there?
But she's got kids. And,
and quite a few of them.
Yeah. Well, she's only got two, Steve.
Oh, I thought she had three.
Well, Joe's got one.
Oh, okay. So, well, they're not married, are they, Joe Swash and
Stacey? No, but they are a lovely couple.
They are they couple goals, would you say?
Oh, no, they're not my couple goals, but...
Who are your couple goals? And don't say David and Victoria Beckham.
Oh, Richard and Judy.
Well, they've been married for a very long time.
30 years.
That's true.
They are my couple.
They live just down the road from here, don't they?
Yeah, I live in Hampstead.
Hampstead, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you met them?
Yes.
What are they like? I can't believe we're having this conversation about Richard and Judy being your couple girls, but go on.
Everything you'd want them to be. Richard, really funny, and Judy just kind of stood there.
A bit awkwardly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
But yeah, they are my couple girls.
Well, I would very much like to meet Richard and Judy. I mean, Richard is my presenting icon.
Oh.
And I was once told at an event that I looked like a young Richard Madeley.
If I could Thanks look Christian like a young Judy Finnegan.
She was quite hot back in the day.
She was.
That blonde blow dry.
The thing is, Richard's getting hotter.
He's quite old now, Kate. I'm not going to... I mean, he's, what, 60? I mean, I know you like an older man, but let's not push it. Exciting news.
What's that?
We have our competition winner.
Woo-hoo!
For our Boys Life competition. They're going to get two tickets. Me and Lizzie are going to go. Well, I haven't heard from her this week, so we'll see if I'm going to go. But yeah, so congratulations to Shan. That is Shan, not Shan.
Shan.
At Shan Sim Cox. I'm assuming that's her... like a double barreled name or something.
Underscore.
You are the winner of the Boys Life competition. You're getting two tickets to see them at the Hilton London Metropole Hotel. They are on tour with John Galea, who was a guest in the studio not so long ago.
Well done, Shan.
Well done, Shan. We maybe will see you there. Very exciting. Shall we play a little Boyzone track?
Yes.
Following that yes.
Let's do it.
I haven't seen you that excited.
Oh, I love a bit of Boyzone.
Little bit of Boyzone. And then we have Darren in the studio after.
Excellent.
No matter what they tell you, what they do. No matter what they teach you, what you believe is true. And I will keep you safe and strong, shelter from the storm.
Out there, I'm like, yeah, I'm pushing 30. I'm a Disney fanatic.
I like
I'm
that.
Just a drunk all the time.
A drunk Disney fanatic.
I've really welcomed myself well here.
Ding, ding, ding. No, I did love Beauty and the Beast. Like, Gaston, when he was singing from the belly up, like, you know, from the whole, the cock upwards.
Oh, it was, yeah.
It
cock
was
and
all,
balls was all in there,
it
wasn't
was all
it?
There. I could totally feel that.
But Johanna could feel all the cock and balls of Gaston, apparently, to go and see it.
Every Friday.
Back row and chill with Knockout and Johanna James.
From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
We've got our next guest in the studio already. The Dazzling.
Dazzling.
It's Dazzling. That's the right term, isn't it?
Yeah, with a G.
Dazzling.
Dazzling Darren Barker.
Oh!
Barker.
That is actually a story. That's a story. My first world title fight, I'll just quickly, because you said that, the legendary Michael Buffer introducing me into the ring, and he goes, and in the red corner, Dazzling Darren Barker. You know, that moment you've been waiting for. So, yeah, you've obviously watched the fight.
Did you have music when you used to come out? What music did you come out
to?
What,
I it's one thing I regret. I don't regret much in my career, but I regret not keeping the same song.
Oh. So what did you go from?
All over the place. A guy who used
bit
to
of disco.
Yeah, a guy who used to sponsor me and a good friend of mine now, Luke. I sort of left it to him. I wasn't a diva like that. A lot of people, especially with boxing now,
like they want to
wipe. People want to make. They want to look good. They want nice shorts and blah blah blah. I was never that bothered. So Luke used to pick my music. My mate Frank used to design my shorts. I didn't care.
You just turned up and fight.
It's
fight
at the end of the day. Yeah.
So explain a bit about your career for those that don't know.
Okay. Well, I boxed for 20 plus years. At first I started at Finchley Boxing Club, then moved to the famous Repton Amateur Boxing Club, and anyone that knows anything about amateur boxing or even boxing at any level knows that Repton is an institute. It really is it's like from going from school to university. It's okay. Just the creme de la creme. Went to Repton, had numerous fights for them, represented my country, boxed in the 2002 Commonwealth Games, won gold.
Amazing. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Why aren't you wearing it now?
Yeah.
Well, it is under my top. I've got the belt on.
Oh, I just got my gold medal.
Yeah, so won that and then represented England again for a few more years. Didn't qualify for the, what was it, the Athens Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
To turn pro, because it's a 4-year cycle as an amateur, and once you've missed out in the Olympics, do you want to wait another 4 years? I've been to every other tournament and I wanted to earn a few quid, so
don't we all.
So turn pro, and I won the, start off with a Commonwealth, the Southern Area, then won the Commonwealth, so I sort of won a Commonwealth Games gold medal, then a Commonwealth title as a pro, which was a proud moment. Then won the British, European a couple of times. And then that fouled attempt for a world title where he got my name wrong. I lost to arguably one of the greatest middleweights of all time, Sergio Martinez from Argentina, who's in, he's a future Hall of Famer. He really is a great. And he beat me. But the experience I got from that was, again, invaluable. And fought for the world title again back in Atlantic City, so it was bittersweet, and ended up winning the world title. My wildest dream had come true.
I mean, that's a lot of winning.
Yeah,
there were two losses. I mean, as an amateur, you sort of I had a higher percentage of wins than I did losses, but as a pro, sort of keeping an unbeaten record is quite important. I mean, a blemish on your record can really set you back, so Everyone's sort of really conscious about it. Well, you don't want to lose anyway. I mean, if you lose in a fight, in a boxing match, it means you're getting hit more than you're
and
hitting him.
Yeah,
it's not nice. I ended up winning a world title, and it was, I still pinch myself now. Because there's a lot went on behind the scenes. I was plagued with injuries. I had a younger brother I boxed with. He passed away in a car accident that set me back, and I was sort of went off the rails. And boxing was completely, I didn't even think about boxing at all. It was sort of just, I was on a collision course, I guess. And so to get through all of that and still be able to get in the ring, I mean, even that was an amazing feat. But to win a world title, it was some journey.
Yeah, sounds like it. Jeez. We were actually saying earlier, we've both been to little boxing classes and stuff, tried it out. It seems to be there's some kind of a resurgence in like boxing, in people enjoying it.
A lot of like my friends go boxing, and but for fitness,
It has. I mean, boxing training has always stood the test of time. It's always been there. So has the sport. It's always been on the forefront, I think, as far as combat sports are concerned. I mean, it doesn't compare to football or anything, but it's always been there. But the training has always appealed to people. Mm. You want to get in there. You want to hit the pads, hit the bags. Some people, crazy people, want to spar. I don't know why. but yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of women are interested in it, and I don't know if I can plug my new gym.
Of course you can.
Yeah,
but
we've got a gym, 12 Freeze. Me and my good friend, I used to box with Ryan Pickard, who's an England international and club captain at Repton, which is a real honour. We had an idea. I retired, and there was sort of, a void was missing. What am I going to do now? I'm still young. And it was this, creating a gym that, where all our trainers are basically, they all have a box. That's that elite level training for all comers. And, there isn't anything out there. There's nothing true to the sport. You might get a guy holding the pads and someone hitting it, but it's not authentic. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't mind that at all. I think it's brilliant. If you want to hit the pads, it's a great way.
You've got all levels, haven't you?
With 12 Freeze, it's all our coaches would have boxed. That's elite level training for all comers. And Emma outside there, she's... she loves it. and I think all the class has grown. I think that, there's been a few men that have joined on. We've done a boot camp.
Okay.
So, we've done a boot camp leading up to the opening of the gym, which is mid-May. Sorry, I've jumped the gun a little bit there. and we did it just to ease into, the opening and sort of prepare ourselves for what's to come. And it's just grown and grown. And you're right, I think the females that have joined... is doubled.
Why do you think it is?
I'm not too sure. I think, Ryan's not a bad looking kid.
Oh, let me get down there.
But also female boxing, you look at someone like Nicola Adams, it's really taking it on to a different level now, because it had always been a very male dominated, very male watched sport, and suddenly to see a woman competing and doing really well.
Yeah.
Makes a whole
of course.
World of difference.
I mean, like you said, Nicola Adams, brilliant. Katie Taylor from Ireland, I mean, a fantastic talent. And, you know, she, on, if you're looking at skill set, better than most men out there. She's unbelievable. And, I mean, women boxing, I guess, was almost frowned upon, especially in the boxing industry, you know. The, I was about to say we then. A lot of folk, boxing folk, are old school.
Uh-huh.
And it's taken a bit of time for the guys to sort of welcome women. But when you actually watch them, they're unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, technically sound. And I mean, it's great. It's great for the sport. And the women are really doing us proud.
Do you think we'll see the day when it's at the same level as you know, money and all those kind of things that are involved in the men's boxing?
I don't know. I mean, I think with the men, where they're naturally bigger and stronger, and we're crazy as a race, we want to see blood. I mean, we are mad. I mean, it goes back to the gladiatorial days where, you know, they're sticking the thumb up or down because they want to, you know...
kill them.
Yeah, kill them. we're like that. And I think with men, it's more brutal and you do see more knockouts. With the women, it's more, like I say, they're technically sound and they go to points. And you don't really want to see the blood.
Maybe
such.
That's true, yeah, maybe.
But with men, they get knocked spark out and everyone's like...
So is that your fate? If you won something, would you want to knock them out? Or win on points?
To be honest, I'm a completely... I think you can see in the short time it's been with me, I'm not really that way inclined, really. You know, something I ended up doing, my dad boxed and I got involved and that was it. But something happened. When that bell went, it was like you go into a trance. I'm hypnotised and I turn into a completely different person.
No bells in the studio this evening.
Yeah, I'll be careful then. I brought my gum shoulders out. I'd want to see blood. I honestly would. And you do have this spiteful... Well, I think you need it. To be successful, you need that spiteful edge in there, because ultimately, if you don't have it, your opponent will. And
do you ever feel guilty?
Never. Because I didn't really... fail anyone. I didn't have any foul shots or naughty shots or anything like that. So it was all legal. It was all within the Queensbury rules. So, nah, never really. I mean, nah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Is that hard though? Because like you said, when that bell went off, suddenly you're in that zone. Is it hard to remember what all the rules are and suddenly you're like just, or is it because your training is so?
I would say, and I'm sort of a big advocate for, I would bring boxing back to schools. Because
that's quite controversial statement.
Yeah, well, Joe, what it is, I think it's well documented, all the knife crime and things like that. And what boxing teaches you is controlled aggression and discipline. And for these young lads or women that are committing these crimes, I think they lack a lot of that at home. And, you know, if they were to get down the boxing club, or ultimately, like I'm suggesting, into a school environment where you're doing it, if it's controlled by top coaches, teachers, whatever, I think, like I say, them life traits that you learn, controlled aggression and discipline, and respect, ultimately, respecting your opponent and your even your neighbour, your friend, whatever. And I think for me, it would be a great coup.
Interesting. What about, you get a lot of boxers these days that go and do the whole reality TV show route. I know you were thinking about Strictly, weren't you?
Yeah, a few boxers on Strictly.
Yeah, a good, very good friend of mine, Joe Calzaghe. Yeah, he's a good mate of mine. We're going to have a couple of drinks on Saturday, actually.
But so not for you.
Would you like to follow in his footsteps?
No, not at all. Funny enough, we've spoke about it and my missus won't have it.
Why?
She just said no.
Oh,
they always run with Christina.
They always run off with each other.
They do. So that's what
I mean.
I'm allowed to do all of them, but I don't know if it's for me, if I'm honest.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know, especially Big Brother. There's no way you're sticking me in the house for 10 weeks or however long it is. I would end up
killing
someone, probably. You know, I'll go mad.
So much for discipline.
You've got some plum in there. Yeah, well, 10 weeks. Then Big Brother, everything goes out the window.
Yeah, true.
I don't know.
But it can be a good way of raising profile and money into a more... into a non-boxing audience, you know? Like, could that be a pull for you, do you think?
I don't think me looking like a plum on ice is going to help.
Oh, don't worry, they don't do that show anymore.
Oh, don't they?
Plums on ice,
plums
no.
Plums on ice.
You know.
We're going to bring it back.
Yeah. I just don't think I could. I mean, boxing's buzzing at the minute, and if boxing was in a bad place, for sure, I would do it. I mean, but I just, I've I don't think that's for me, if I'm honest.
Okay, fair enough. So you've got your gym opening, did you say next month?
Yeah, mid-May.
And is that kind of what you're focusing on now?
Yeah,
that, now you're
that's
retired?
My passion, you know. Boxing, I've always been a big fan of boxing, if I wasn't doing it or not. I mean, I grew up with it, like I say. So now this is like the follow-on from it, you know, helping guys, women who want to learn how to box but not necessarily want to get in the room. We're not going to train fighters. So yeah, it's a passion of mine and my friend Ryan's, and we're really looking forward to it. We have aspirations of opening a few in London, already looking at two further sites in the city. So nice. Hopefully by the end of the year we have three open, and then yeah,
that's pretty quick growth, to be honest.
Yeah, we don't mess about, we don't hang about.
Go hard or go home.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Where can we find out information about that?
Right, so we're on Twitter, it's at 12 free, so it's 12
1 2
times 3, right.
Okay. Oh,
12 times 3. Yeah, got so it. And what that is basically, a title fight in boxing is 12 3-minute rounds. So right. Our signature circuit, if you like, is 12 3-minute rounds.
Well, that makes sense.
There you go.
So on there, we can find all the information.
You find all the information. It's an all gate. We've got a website on there, www.12freesgym.co.uk. So
you can you remember it?
Yeah, so it's all on there. And yeah, mid-May... come down.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in this evening.
Thanks for having
to chat
me.
To you.
Thanks.
And we'll let you go down to the pub now and have
what's
a beer.
What's the pub called next door?
Shilly Beers.
Chili.
Shilly.
Shilly. Shilly Beers. So yeah. By plugging them, am I going to get a few drink now?
I mean, let's not push it. You know? Oh, apparently it's now the depot. I'm just being told.
Oh, the depot.
To the depot.
The depot pub.
Okay, so fine.
I'll say I've been on here and plugged them, see if I can get anything out of them.
We don't get it. No. And we work here. So if all you right. do, we're going to be having words.
Well, like I said, I did bring my medal. It's under here. So.
Thank you so much for coming
cheers.
In this evening.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Party, party. I run away with you. weekend, we could turn the world to gold.
I'm obsessed with that song.
Are you?
Do you know it? Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh.
Yeah. It's one of my boyfriend's faves as well, so I thought, you know. Why not?
Play it for him.
Play it for him.
Play it for Johnny.
Play it for little John Johns. How nice was he?
Lovely.
I am totally feeling the boxing vibes now. I mean, it's a shame you couldn't get his name right, Kate, but we won't talk about that.
I know.
That's you getting your work.
It's a pronunciation problem, isn't it?
Don't Darren Barker.
I was so taken by the dazzling.
You were dazzled.
I was dazzled by Darren Barker.
What a nice guy. Because I think boxers quite often get like a bad reputation, don't they?
Yeah.
And sometimes justifiably. Yeah, it's understandable. These things happen. But he was lovely. Seems really nice. And his girlfriend just came into the studio. She seemed really nice as well.
Yeah.
So we'll probably be down there.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Three times 12. 12 times 3.
Anyway, we said it on the show earlier, yeah. So I'm sure you can go back and listen. But speaking about people that have like made their lives better, mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw today, there was, you know, Davina McCall. Everyone knows Davina McCall.
I think I might know her, yes.
I think I've heard of her, yeah. She gets sometimes a bit vilified. She can be a bit like chalk and cheese. People don't always like her.
I'm a big Davina fan.
Why is that?
I just love her. I love her.
Well, interestingly, tonight on the John Bishop show, on UK TV, she is talking about her addiction problems that she went through. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a weird one, isn't it? Because I don't feel like everyone knows that about Davina, because you see her on TV.
She's all bubbly, happy,
very bubbly, very
life,
exactly. Yeah, kids. She's like, how old? She's nearly 50 now.
She'll be 50 in October,
and she looks incredible,
amazing.
Yeah, runs marathons. She does everything, but in her 20s,
she was
a heroin addict.
I know. Actual heroin.
A heroin addict and an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about that on the show tonight. And she was saying, it was really interesting, I watched a clip of it, how she got to rock bottom. And basically one of her family members turned up at her house and said, you're lying to us. You are lying to us now. You need help. Mm. And they went in and got the help. She said she realised when they said that was the time. For her to...
That's what caused her.
Yeah. Heroin addiction is no laughing matter.
No, it's not.
And I think she realised as well that she basically said, she says in the interview that's going to be aired tonight, that she realised and she said to a friend, I can't live like this anymore, and did something about it. And don't you think that's funny that someone like Davina, who you would think of as like so grounded and so like...
Yeah, no,
had gone through all of that.
Yeah. She said a few times as well that she just can't even, she can't touch anything now.
Yeah.
So she can't even, because she said as soon as she had like a sip of wine.
Champagne, yeah.
Or anything, she knows what she'd want to do.
Yeah.
She just has to cut out everything. If people come around to her house, she's like, I don't care if people drink around me. I'd be, no. No one's drinking around me.
Yeah, me too.
But I suppose she's just one of these people, like, I suppose her next addiction or obsession is exercise.
Yeah, exercise and a very healthy diet.
Yeah.
So she doesn't eat sugar, does she?
No.
Which I think is probably probably one of the hardest things to cut out, because it's in everything.
I don't know if I could. I'm such a chocoholic.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. I have to have chocolate every day.
I don't get that. I mean, I like a bit of chocolate, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. But for her, I remember there was a funny rumour that she was going to be taken over as presenter on Bake Off, and she was like, I don't eat sugar. How could I present the Bake Off with any sincerity? You're like, but she knows that. She's, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's
like, she's fine with that, and she's like adjusted to her life like that. Do you think she's a really interesting person? I would like to get her on the show. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'd like to hang out with Davina.
But you can't go down the pub with her.
Well, no, she could watch me get drunk and be like, Davina, I love you.
I'm sure that's what she's always wanted in a pal, isn't she? Yeah, really, really loving that.
She's got a very fit husband as well.
Is he fit?
Oh my God, so fit.
What do you do?
He used to present Pet Rescue.
With Rolf Harris?
No. That was Animal Hospital.
Oh.
It's a Channel 4 show, and they met... Did they meet walking their dogs, I think?
Oh, I don't know. Did they?
Yeah, he's really fit.
Walking their dogs?
Yeah.
Interesting one.
But he's hot.
Maybe that's where you could find him.
I don't like dogs, do I? So...
Walking your ferret?
We don't like animals, so...
Okay, so that's a tough one.
Well, I probably should need to start liking dogs, because...
A lot of people like dogs.
Well, yeah, because I could make my dog run after, like, the really hot man and be like, oh, sorry, my dog.
And then that's the beginning of a great romantic comedy.
Yeah.
I feel. We have our next guest ready to come into the studio, the very handsome Mackin from Made in Chelsea. Ooh. So how do we feel about a little bit of steps?
Love a little bit of steps.
Before we get him in the studio. Good,
yes.
Yeah? Good.
Yes.
What you can see can hurt you, they say. But I've been blind too many times before. Never see it coming your way. Shadows and secrets hide. Give me the bright lights of the dance floor to shine inside this broken heart of mine. The way you move, I'm forgetting all the ghosts in my mind. Just say your mind and stay.
Kate?
Loving a bit of steps.
Have you learned the routine from the video?
Not yet.
but it's in flat.
Well, yeah, you know, when I've got a bit of time.
Cool. Well, we have our final guest of the evening in the studio. Very handsome.
Very handsome.
Akin from Maiden Chelsea.
Stop it, you. How are you doing?
Is it Akin or Akin?
Akin.
Akin.
Akin. Yeah, Akin. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. One. Just call me Akbo and we'll be...
Akbo.
Akbo. Okay.
Got
there
it.
There we go. Like Sneak Bo, but
I'm
Akbo.
Not sure if I'm cool enough to actually
you
call
are.
You Akbo. Akbo.
Definitely.
Why not, babes? What's your problem?
Try it.
Try it. Akbo.
How are you?
I'm very, very well. I'm enjoying the spring sunshine that we've been having.
Mm. Aren't we all?
Yeah, it's been...
I'm having to water the garden, but other than that...
Oh.
You're yet to do it, or...
No, I've had to start.
Oh, you've had to start doing it.
I haven't had any rain for a good
Get
week.
Get some sprinklers.
It's not that big.
No.
it's actually in your kitchen.
Yeah. So how have you been? Obviously, Made in Chelsea, big, big show.
Yeah.
You're one of the newcomers.
Yeah.
How are you finding that whole kind of world?
Mate, it's crazy. I mean, this is my second season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, last season was surreal for me in terms of...
Kind of learning how it works.
I mean, you know, even though I know a lot of the guys, so I went to school with Alex Mitten, who's been a good friend of mine for 13 plus years. I used to play rugby with JP, who's obviously got a little one on the way.
We'll go back to that.
Shout out Pizzle. Dilfy in the house. And Sammy T's a good friend of mine. So I knew a lot of the guys before I started on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing really prepares you until you're in front of the cameras, and then subsequently when you're out and about and people start to recognise you. And, you know, you might be in Nando's relaxing and someone might walk up to you and say, can I have a selfie or whatever it might be. So, yeah, it was definitely a transition. But I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed every second. A lot of the feedback, I'd say 96% has been... 96% has been strong. And then every now and again, my grandma Abigail will say to me she doesn't like me, you know, some of the outfits that I've been wearing or something like that.
What's wrong with the outfits? I don't think they're that offensive.
I think they're good as well, but she likes me to go quite formal, apparently. So
right.
She doesn't like it when
well,
I'm
Well, you're not very
casual.
Formal tonight.
Yeah,
no, you're
I'm
quite,
not.
Quite cash.
Yeah,
quite cash.
Very casual. And I've got some tattoos. She doesn't even know I've got those. So she'd have a heart attack.
So you're keeping the long sleeves on Made in Chelsea. That's understandable.
Yeah, I'll go in a monk's outfit when I go to see Grandma Abigail, for sure.
Now, what's filming like? Because obviously it's a scripted reality TV show. So obviously the relationships are real, but the scenarios, as they say, are set up for your entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you know that when you're going into it, you know where you're going, but you don't know what's going to happen.
Man, it's a bit of both, truth be told. So I think there was a time when these shows kind of first erupted, when Towie, Made in Chelsea, Geordie Shore first started, where things were very kind of regimented in terms of, right, this is what you're going to say in this situation and this is how it's going to be. I think as time's gone on, it's actually, I saw an article the other day, we're part of constructed reality.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, you know, constructed in terms of, you're told to be at a certain place at a certain time, but it is reality in terms of the relationships are real, like you just said. A lot of the passion, whether it's anger, whether it's happiness, joy, sadness, that's all real as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, our first episode of this season, when JP, you know, mentioned that he's going to have a baby,
casually
drops it in,
and suddenly that scene with Jamie when he was like, "Oh no,
God, that's the one." Jamie, you know, had his cap over his face. I was looking at Jamie. Like, are you, like, what's going on? Proudlock was on the other side, just he didn't know what to do. I don't think he could move because of the Botox. I'm only joking, mate, if you're listening. But no, seriously, that was real. Those mm-hmm. reactions were real because we genuinely didn't know that that Binks had one in the oven. So that sort of thing is very, very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other times when the producers might say, look, you're going to be at this place at this time. They won't say who will be there, but you have an inkling. You have something.
You know
in
what's
mind.
Going on.
So you can prepare slightly, but there are times, like I say, that example there where you don't know what's happening at all.
I honestly don't think I could handle the pressure. I don't think I could.
Of what?
Well, of just not knowing who's going to come through the door at any given moment. And it could be some ex-partner from 10 years ago that you barely remember.
I know, it's true.
Or it could be your best friend from school, you know?
I think for me, I'm very fortunate that I have no crazy...
Skeleton.
No Next. Yeah, nothing coming out of the closet.
Are you sure?
You say that now, yeah.
Let me touch wood. I'm very hard here. I remember when I first started, I said to Alex, you know, what should I do to prepare and all the rest of it? Because he's obviously been through it all, you know.
Really? Alex Smith has been through
them all. And them all as well. Yeah. But no, he said to me, you know, yeah, one of the things that I was kind of worried about was, you know, potential ex-girlfriends or whoever popping up. But no, for the most part, I've been fine. So no, it's a good vibe for sure.
And are you planning to stay on the show for good? How does it work? They sign you every season?
We're contracted for a certain period of time, depending on, you know, how things have gone and what's been happening. I'm really happy on the show. I think, you know, the important thing for me is that, you know, I do have life outside of it. So the agency that I own and run, which is a sports marketing agency, is very important to me. And actually one of the reasons why I started on the show was to help raise my profile for that. And that's going really, really well. So, you know, if there comes a point where work, you know, kind of takes over and I'm not able to film as much and be as integral, I say integral in quotations, part of the show, then I'll have to assess it. But for now, really enjoying my time on there. The feedback response is amazing. And I love spending time with my guys, you know. Yeah. Sammy T, JP, Mitz, Prouds, Lang, Fred as well. Boulay's got a very dry sense of humour. The boys have got a good...
Like it when Francis comes onto the screen because it's like he doesn't make any bones about the fact that things are awkward. Yeah. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, he's like that.
He's very like...
But even if you're sitting on a train with him, you know, heading down to wherever it might be, he's very much like that. Like, he's, you know, in your face and you're not sure. Like, are you happy or sad right now?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Don't know.
You're not sure. But no, we've got a good group, so I enjoy it.
Obviously, you've mentioned the baby, the amazing Chelsea baby.
Yes.
All excitement for that.
Man, I honestly can't put into words how unbelievable it feels to be in a situation where one of your close friends, two of your close friends, are about to bring, you know, new life into the world. Obviously, it's the first maiden Chelsea baby, which is
unexpected.
Which has been a long time coming. Yeah, shocked everyone. But I have to say, and I don't say this just because I'm friends with JP or just because, you know, Binks is such an amazing person, they're going to be two of the best parents ever. And I mean that simply because in terms of their emotions and how in touch they are with just wanting happiness all the time, irrespective of what you've seen on screen, when it comes to real life, those two are two of the most passionate people that you ever meet. And when this new life pops into the world, they're going to be, you know, parents of the year. This is me plugging for Godfather. I've got two godchildren. I said I'd give them a shout out as well, Willem and Isabella. But I need a third. So Binks, sort me out.
And do you think, you know, he might pop the question?
Wow. You know? He's going to text me in a second and go, don't answer that. My phone's
going to
vibrate.
Before he texts.
At some point, I do see it happen. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure is the first bullet point. Would I like to see it happen? Yeah, absolutely. But, you know...
Because you want to be best man.
Best man.
More jobs.
Anything. Just get me into the wedding. No, look, I think, first of all, let them, you know, have the little one. Get settled, make sure that she's comfortable and healthy, which I'm sure she will be. And then the next stage will be wedding bells and that sort of thing, I'm sure of it. Yeah.
But it didn't get off to the best of starts, did it? Because they weren't together when she found out she was pregnant.
No, absolutely. And it was funny because...
Hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious from my point of view, not for them.
But
the day JP found out, we were actually filming. So JP and I were, it was at the tail end of last season, and we were doing a scene where we were driving around in a fresh Audi, and we were talking about, you know, right, the next stage, and I'm single and you're potentially, you know, kind of going to be doing your own thing, and, you know, I'm going to be Batman, you'll be Robin, what's kind of going to happen here? And then the next thing, you know, it's kind of a 180 situation.
Yeah.
So I have to say, though, it couldn't have happened at a better time in terms of JP and Binks and where they were at, because they were at a crossroads of sorts. And I never like talking about their... leave them to their relationship, but they were at a crossroads, and now I think they've kind of found each other, and they'll, you know, live happily ever after, I'm sure.
Aww. Fingers crossed. What about you?
This is that's the golden question, the golden ticket. No, look, for me on the show, when I started last season, I think there were maybe two single girls, Rosie and maybe Victoria. Apart from that, everyone else was pretty much...
Sorry, I'm pulling a face because I don't think many men would particularly want to date Victoria, because she's got a bit of a reputation for being a bitch.
Yeah, she's very nice, actually.
Really?
Victoria, yeah. I haven't spent a huge amount of time with her.
Would you like to date her?
No,
that's pushing it. That's pushing it.
You're breaking up. No, she's very, very nice.
She's funny.
She's very funny. She's got a very dry sense of humour, which I really appreciate. But when I started, majority of the girls were in relationships, which is fine because I didn't go on to find a girlfriend or anything of that nature. I've been single for a long time as well, since school. So I'm in no rush to
How
change.
Old are you now?
I'm 27 now. So since
You've
I was
been single
about
since
18.
School. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I was single 7 years. I thought that was long.
Yeah,
but this is what, 11?
Yeah, 10. Yeah, around that. And in that time, I've kind of seen one or two girls. But I'm an only child, and I'm very selective about who I let into my space.
Very independent.
Yeah, very independent. I've got a small circle of friends, even though, you know, we do TV and sport and entertainment. I've got a very small circle of people that I speak to consistently. So when I do find the right girl, it'll be someone that isn't necessarily the hottest girl in the room or who has 120,000 Instagram followers, but someone that I can just get on with and talk to on a regular basis. And yeah, I haven't found her as of yet, so, you know, we'll keep looking.
What do you look for?
Wow, it's I like teeth.
Well, it's always nice to have some.
Everyone likes a bit of teeth.
No, but I'm really anal about teeth. I don't know what it is, but if a girl doesn't have a nice smile, it kind of throws me off a bit. Uh-huh. Smell is very important.
Yeah, got it.
So you don't like smelly teeth. So
I don't smell. I don't like smelly toothless people, basically. So any Tottenham supporters, well, I don't like. I'm joking. Kind of, not really.
Fair enough. So that's the only two benchmarks, is it?
No, not at all. In terms of aesthetics, that's, you know, something that I look for. She has to be funny. I know that's quite cliched, but if she's not making me laugh...
We were actually saying the same earlier, weren't we?
Yeah.
I think humour is my
Humour's,
top thing.
Yeah, so important. But vice versa. I take the piss out of myself a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I don't take myself too seriously. I didn't win in the height stakes, so, you know, height-wise, I'm struggling. So any height banter that comes my way, I love it. But also vice versa, if I'm going to banter you a little bit, I don't want you to kind of, you know, cry
about...
God, I can't deal with that. So definitely being able to be self-confident enough to come at me and me come at you. And then I do like girls who are self-sufficient in terms of they're doing their own thing and working on their own projects, and it's not, you know, what time are you finishing filming or work because I want to see you, blah, blah, blah. But me actually saying, I haven't seen you in... I was going to say weeks there. That shows you how long I haven't been in a relationship. I haven't seen you.
Wow,
in,
seen you
what's your name again? What is this
number?
She's
daring to ask if she's going to see me.
But a girl who, you know, is working on her own thing, and we can help each other, you know, get to our respective goals and do well. That sort of thing's quite important as well.
Would that be on the show?
Doubtful. Doubtful.
Really?
For the main reason being that, you know, and of course there are loads of couples that are in relationships on the show. Some work, some don't.
I would say most don't, but
most,
you know,
don't, yeah, most don't stand the test of time. For the simple fact, you're in the, like, how hard is it to have a relationship in the public eye, even a friendship in the public eye, never mind, you know, people tweeting, Instagramming you going, oh, I saw your girlfriend out the other day talking to the postman, or, you know...
Not the postman.
The postman, yeah.
The postman.
Or, you know, there have been times where I've been on appearances with the boys at different clubs up and down the country, and the guys will get a message, or the guys' girlfriends will get a message message from someone saying, oh yeah, we just using Sammy T as an example,
kind of a good one, but yeah, go on.
But you know, oh, this girl saw this happening, and then they'll message Tiff and say blah blah happened, when in actuality nothing was happening. We were just talking, and we're allowed to talk, me being single and Sam in a relationship, yes, but not doing anything below board. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard to have a relationship and not have other people kind of dipping in their two cents all the time.
Yeah.
And actually though, I think if you do decide to get in a relationship on TV, you have to take that with a pinch of salt,
because
you're signing up for it. So for me, I'm relaxed, and you know, I'll keep my personal life in terms of my relationships probably off screen, unless it is someone on the show, but I doubt it will be.
Well, then we won't see you on the next series. So it's really nice to have you in the studio.
I know, yeah. It's one of those things, though, honestly.
But that's fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I totally get that you've got to have a private life, and
yeah,
you know. Gotta live your life the best way you can.
Absolutely,
you?
And look, the show's great. Like I've said, and I love it. But it's there's life before and after.
It's not the be all and end all.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And hopefully, I think our fans understand and know that as well, which is why it's so good, because they don't know when it's all going to end, or you know, even when it will keep continuing to go longer. So it's a case of just living in the moment, enjoying it, and cracking on.
So we can catch you on Monday nights.
Monday nights, E4 at 9, baby. That's the one.
We'll be there. Thank you so much for coming in.
Mate,
the series.
Appreciate
it's been great
it.
To have you.
Not a problem.
Gonna have a bit of the cranberries now for my mum. Isn't that cute? Nice to have you in. Thanks
appreciate
so much.
Appreciate it, mate. Thank you, guys.
Is that good?
Great.
I hope you're enjoying that, Mum, and I hope you're not crying too much, because I know that that'll probably make you burst into tears. You know, that's just the way she is, so that's fine.
Love a bit of the cranberries.
Love a bit of the cranberries. How sexy was Akin? I'm just saying.
He's nice.
He's quite on my street, to be honest. And polite.
Very polite. Very,
very
polite. Lovely.
Very lovely guy.
Our guests have been lovely, actually, tonight.
No, especially as we did not expect Steve Brookstein to be lovely.
No.
And it was a real treat. He's actually just tweeted me.
Oh, has
say
he?
Thanks, yeah. Do you tweet you?
No, but...
You don't really have any Twitter followers, do you? So.
Yeah, more of an Instagram person.
More of an Instagram gal.
Yeah, with all my two followers.
Babes, you know, we've got to do what we can, haven't
somewhere.
We, in this world. My boyfriend just got his first offer of a little paid thing on Instagram.
Oh, doing what?
Probably shouldn't say.
Oh, okay.
But
you can tell me later.
I can tell you later.
Over a beer at the depot.
The depot, yeah. Well, not free
beer.
Yeah, when do you drink beer? Yeah, but this is the thing with Instagram. You can get paid money to post something if you've got enough followers. How many followers you got?
222.
Oh, nice round number.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'll add to it a bit more next week when I'm on holiday.
Oh, yeah, gorge. Dead gel. Yeah. Hope Lizzie can make it next week, because otherwise I'll be presenting
the
show by
myself.
I'll have
to do it from the Caribbean, babe.
So where are you going?
Grenada.
I pretend I'm happy for you, Kate, but I can't, you know.
Yeah, but you're like me. I'm not happy for other people.
It's not my vibe. I'm sorry.
Everyone
I'm sure you'll have a
jealous.
Lovely time.
Everyone gets jealous of other people.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a little trip to Scotland planned next month. But
well,
that'd
be lovely. Then I'm off to Marbs. Then Ibiza.
Mars?
Marbs.
That you're going to explore a
oh,
one.
Oh, no, I'll be terrified.
What else is coming up this week? I feel like it's a fairly dull showbiz week ahead. We do have Kate and Will's anniversary coming up, don't we?
Yeah, that's next Saturday or something.
Yeah.
Britain's Got Talent's back on Saturday.
What, did you watch the first episode?
No.
You didn't?
Well, I was out.
Of course you were. It's Saturday night. I watched it twice. I went to the press launch and then I went to watch it on Saturday night, because I was back home this weekend. You know?
Was that the best audition that I've ever seen?
Obviously, Susan Boyle was
the
best audition.
I get really annoyed about it.
Yeah, so at the end of the show, it was Simon's Golden Buzzer was this singer. She was very good. She did a whatever that song is from, whatever that film is, Dreamgirls. The big song from Dreamgirls.
Oh, I won't try and sing it.
Listen,
yeah.
But obviously, for me, the best audition of all time on Britain's Got Talent is obviously going to be Susan Boyle.
Yeah, because that's what it was all
well,
about.
Yeah. Obviously.
I don't know how you could even...
What did she sing?
I Dreamed a Dream.
Of course she did.
I Dreamed a Dream from Les Miserables.
Yeah, so this is... See, Kate and me have got a good... We've got, got a little bit of shorthand here, because we do like to regularly watch Susan Boyle's audition on YouTube, don't we?
At least, probably for me, at least once a month.
I would say about the same.
Yeah, I'll come in and I'll just be like, do you know what? I'm going to put that on and really cheer me up.
What cheers you up?
What?
Why does it cheer you up?
Because she's just sat there eating her jam sandwiches, talking about how she's never been kissed. She lives with her cat Pebbles. And then everyone, that woman that rolls her eyes in the audience. And she says things like...
And Amanda's got her arms behind her head.
Yeah, and they're all like, oh... And then she thinks, she's not even that great.
She's not even that good.
But it's just amazing.
To dream and time gone by.
And she's got her outfit on and she's got her sticker stuck to her chest, her bare chest.
We're not being mean, ladies and gentlemen.
No,
this
I
is,
love
we're
her.
genuinely fans.
And she's always that one little bit one too fast.
Too fast, isn't she? Yeah, that's the joy of Susan Boyle. Well, Kate, it's been a treat to have you in again this week.
It's been lovely being on.
The Lizzie Cundy stand-in. Never thought you'd say that, would you?
I've achieved my life goal.
You are the stand-in for Lizzie Cundy when she's otherwise...
otherwise busy.
Otherwise busy with Patsy Kensit, wherever she is tonight.
Yeah.
How about a bit of Mariah Carey to play us out? Well, thank you very much for listening, everyone.
Yes, thank you.
Axel Solaris will be back next week at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.